Anthony, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Pretty rare that a Prime Minister kind of effectively gives away the timing of an election by what he's done today.
Well, they had to announce the parliamentary schedule for next year. They had to announce the date when they deliver a budget, because if they didn't, I mean, they have to have a timetable. It has to be a budget date set, and they've set the date for that. They can still call the election and have it on the 2nd of March. But essentially, unless they go to an early election, they have basically said the election will be in May.
That's right. And there's only a couple of weekends. You'd agree with Dan's assessment as to when we can now probably expect election day?
According to the Electoral Commission, they want the election, the latest is the 18th of May, so they've got time to count the votes for the new Senate election to be resolved. The budget will essentially have the status of being an election promise, because it cannot possibly pass. The parliament will dissolve at the end of that week, and the budget will not pass. It's the same as the last election in 2016. There will be a budget. There will then be a supply bill moved, which covers finances up until August, September, whenever the government comes back after the election. A government comes back after the election. And so that the budget will not be passed. It will be an interesting debate. The government will move on the 2nd. The opposition reply will be on the 4th. And I presume the parliament will dissolve that weekend. And the writ's issued on the following Monday for an election, either on the 11th or the 18th.
All right, you'll be a busy man then again. The other implications of this is that the budget update, the MyEFO, will now clash, I think, with the Labor conference. And there's, of course, another state election due before that, the New South Wales in March.
23rd of March, and that's the main thing that's sort of determining the timing of the election. New South Wales has a fixed term. It's a rather complex date to move. The government essentially either has to go before the New South Wales election or wait till afterwards. And this timing of the announcement of the budget suggests they are going to wait till after the New South Wales election. Because if the MyEFO position looks incredibly good, they could still go in March and say, look, we've got the budget back into surplus. So if there is still that option. If the budget in the MyEFO is in surplus, they may still go in March. But, I mean, that's up to them.
Speaking of electorates and numbers, Julia Banks's decision to stand aside from the Liberal Party but to stay as an independent MP, still representing the Victorian seat of Chisholm in the federal parliament, hasn't said whether she will recontest. The original suspicion was that she wouldn't be going around again, but no one expected necessarily to do what she did today. Chisholm, previously a long-held Labor seat, so it's no sure thing for the Libs.
Well, it's always been a marginal seat. It was held for a number of years.
18, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Wooldridge held it at one stage. That's in true. 90. So it's been a marginal seat for as long as I can remember, about 30 odd years. So it's just, it's normally been held by Labor, but you'd think now with Julia Banks not there, that it should be an easy war. I don't know what seat Julia Banks will run in. She may choose to run against a Liberal opponent in another seat.
Someone make a point of saying, look, I'm a woman, I'm running for the Liberals, vote for me.
She seems to have had a number of crosses with Michael Suka in the next seat of Deakin. Look, I have no idea what she will do, but don't discount that she's going to run in another seat.
Okay, and speaking of Victoria, what's the latest? Any advance on the Victorian state election numbers?
No particular advance. The Labor Party has a definite 52 seats, trending towards 55, 56 in the 88-seat parliament. The numbers have been switching around in the upper house. The 10 micro parties that were elected are now down to 8 because the Shooters and Fishers have moved ahead in 2 seats. So the numbers are starting, as the counting is coming into the proceeds and absence being added, it's having a bit of a difference. But we'll really have to wait for the distribution of preferences, because some of these micro parties that are currently notionally declared elected, a lot of people have voted below the line, then they won't reach the targets they need to get elected. So we'll be waiting for 2 to 3 weeks before they get the upper house result. But certainly the Labor Party have been in a relatively strong position. They've got at least 18 seats. There's going to be a substantial crossbench to negotiate with. So it'll be a much more comfortable upper house than in the previous parliament.
Let's see what happens in the next state election in New South Wales. Anthony Green, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Anthony Green, the ABC election analyst, had a busy couple of days, and it's not over yet.